Let's go back to the verse 12. He said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. People, when they hear this thing, they do not want any kind of temptation. Here we, in this verse, temptation is still not tempting for doing evil things. Temptation is still trials and tribulations and persecution. And the word of God is saying, blessed is the man that endureth. Temptation will come. But when the trial comes, some people do not want to bear the temptation. When the trial comes, they want to turn around and go back to the world. That is not the will of God. God wants his people to endure the trials and tribulation. God has called us with a definite purpose. I have decided to what? Follow Jesus and no turning back. Christian life is not turning back. When you start following Jesus Christ, no turning back. When you read the following verse, we read there like a temptation. But now let's dwell on these words for a few minutes. When the trial comes, the word of God is saying, when the trial comes and when the man is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Now if somebody believes in eternal security, point out these words to them. Tell them what the word of God is trying to say here. When you endure the trials and tribulations, then you're going to have the crown of life. And if you just turn back to the world, once you got saved and you got backslidden and do not want to have trials and troubles in your life, you are not going to have crown of life, because you have to do it. Somebody says, how long? There is no period set up. If you read in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, it says the temptation for what? Please read. Temptation is for out. Tribulation is for 10 days. And somebody start counting the 10 days and it's nothing happening, then you get so much discouraged. Sometimes you can take it literally, and if you believe it, your temptation or trials will be finished within 10 days. One day what happened, all of a sudden, I got pain in my side. So much pain that I could not get up. I could not go to second floor to bed. So I slept on the floor in my living room. 10 days. And I said, Lord, I'm just taking literally 10 days now. Read that verse, please.
Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
So when I read this scripture, I know 10 days means not particularly 10 days. But I took it literally that time and I said, Lord, within 10 days, I'm going to get out of this bed and I'll be completely healed. As soon as the 10th day finished, the pain left. I was able to drive. I was able to do everything what I was not able to do it. So what I'm trying to say, if you take it literally 10 days, it will work for you for 10 days. But the 10 days means short period of time. God is not going to allow you that you cannot bear. You cannot bear the trials and tribulations. But the word of God is saying, when you try, you receive the crown of life. Sometimes people say, I didn't do anything wrong. Why this problem is coming to me? Why God is trying me. If you read the following verses, God never brings trials and tribulations to you. Who brings them? The enemy brings. And sometimes God allows you to go through these trials and tribulations so you can be tried and you can be perfect. And you will be able to answer others what you're going through. If you read 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, when your faith tried like a gold is tried in fire, what happens then? Please read.
But the trial of your faith is much more precious than the gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing.
So what he's trying to say, when you try, the enemy brings the trials, and when you are trial, you're going through, God purifies you much more better than a silver and gold, and then you can glorify God. If you are in the Peter, let's read the 1 Peter chapter 4 and start reading from verse 12. When the trial comes, it doesn't sound good. It comes sometimes suddenly, just like Job had the trial. Please read.
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified.
Who are those people who are persecuting you, who are trying to give you a hard time? But when you tried, say, thank you, Jesus. I got a chance to get persecuted because of Jesus Christ. And we should rejoice in the Lord. That's what the James started all these things. So the word of God says, blessed is the man that endureth the temptation or trials, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. And what he said, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. If you love the Lord, you are going to suffer for him. If you don't love him, you are not going to suffer for him. All these trials and tribulations would come. But if you are a child of God, you are going to say, I love the Lord and Lord loves me. If you're living in this world, only goal you should have to live for Jesus Christ. Reach out to somebody who is dying in their sin. That's the only reason we are going to live in this world. So the word of God says he will give us the reward. Okay, let's read the following verse. James chapter 1 verse 13.
But no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. Let no man say, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Ten.
Do not err, my beloved brethren.
See what the word of God is saying. Let no man say when he is tempted. Now this is not a testing. This is temptation. The lustful temptation. Because the word of God says, God do not tempt person to do the sinful activities. God might allow devil to test you, bring trials and tribulations. But God does not allow Satan to use you in filthy way. That is not the God's way. Then he says, but what happened? But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. So every person, if that person is not born again, every person has a lustful desire to commit sin. And somebody said, don't you think the born again person has the same desire? I tell you, no. We just said it last week. Once you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when Jesus Christ comes to live in you, and then you can live a life of Jesus Christ. You don't have to smoke, you don't have to drink, you don't have to gamble, you don't have to commit any sin. Why? Because Jesus lives in you. You allow Jesus to use your life for the glory of God. But if you want to commit sin, God is not going to tie your hands. Because we are not robots. God has given us free will. You want to follow the Lord? You can. You want to turn around and follow the devil? You can. God is not going to put some kind of something ring in your nose and pull you back. Your heart will condemn you. The God Spirit will tell you this is wrong. But see what's happening? Sin doesn't come like a split second. So the Word of God is saying, what happens first of all when you get lusted? Let me give an example. You're going on the street and you saw a beautiful girl and start looking at her one time. If you are a born again child of God, you're supposed to say, Lord, how beautiful you made my sister. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And leave it there. But if you say, I'm going to follow that girl, I don't know where she lives, and I'm going to, you know, follow her or kidnap her or do something, all of these things takes planning. It doesn't happen right away. You lust for her, you go after her, you find out where she lives, you find out where she works, and then go after her and finding the chance to do something harm. It takes a long time. People, there are some people, you know, snatch somebody walking on the street, but somebody says, you know, I never thought I'm going to snatch that girl. I just did it like this. Nothing happened like that. That person might be dreaming. That person might be thinking. That person might be planning. That person might be thinking a long time to do all this sinful activity. It doesn't happen in a split second. It says here, read the verse 15.
And when lust hath conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's finished, bringeth forth death.
See what he's saying? When the lust has conceived, it takes time. Just he's trying to say an example. When the baby comes in a womb, it doesn't come like 10 pounds in the day that baby is conceived. What happens? It takes a tiny little seed and it grows that seed to be a 9-pound, 10-pound a baby. And it takes 9 to 10 months and then gives birth. The same example is giving. Sin will be coming to you, a tiny little seed. And then you have to resist that sin. But if you start pampering that sin will give birth to death. And that's what the Word of God is saying. The Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 6 verse 23. So the Word of God is saying, when you get some kind of this kind of temptation, what you do? Run away from that temptation. You know the story of Joseph. Joseph was a young man. And Joseph was kept in that house just like his own house. He says, everything is belong to you. You take care. Only he is boss over his wife. And one day, you know the story. I don't want to tell you in detail. But that lady was tempted. She was lusting for that man. And when he saw she is lusting, she took her in some room, maybe telling her, do this or pick up that thing, or help me this and help me that. We don't know how she did. And she might be developed some kind of trust. And now Joseph start thinking, that lady is good. But that lady was thinking all the time, how she is going to trap that man. And when she saw him alone, Maybe she kept some watchmen outside, okay, you stand out there when Joseph comes, I don't want my husband to be coming or bothering. I don't know what she did, because why I'm saying when she cried, everybody came running. So they have to be close enough, guarding her. But what I'm trying to say, when she tried to convince that man, my husband trusts you, he's not going to doubt, do whatever I say to you. But he was saying, God is watching over me. I had to afraid of God, not to the man. She came to know that he is not going to listen. What she did, took his clothes. But whatever the underclothes he had, he ran for his life. And he was persecuted. He did not defend himself. He said, God is going to find a way. The enemy will try to trap you and try to make such a way that tell you there's nothing is wrong with this, and this was the way the world is doing. If I'm not harming somebody, and if somebody is doing willingly something, that's okay. And people are falling in this trap. But the Word of God is saying what? Flee from this kind of problem. Run for your life. This thing starts in your mind, in your heart, and then it produces death. Before that happens, you should run from that place. You should run for your life. And that's what the Word of God is trying to say. Okay, and then when we read in the verse 16, it says, do not err, my beloved brethren. But what he's trying to say is giving a warning. Brothers, do not make mistakes. Do not commit sin. Do not fall into this kind of evil, lustful temptation. Because this lustful temptation will destroy you. When you are young right now, and if you play with a fire, someday you're going to have a problem. There was a young lady who used to come to our church. She used to play with the boys. I said, why don't you play with girls? One day you're going to fall into temptation. One day you will have a problem. What happened? That thing came true. But if the person would have taken the advice, the man of God telling me, you should not play with the fire. You should keep your life pure. It would work. Do not make mistake, beloved brethren. He's saying, I'm telling you by love, do not make this mistake. 5 minutes of joy brings years of problem. Not one day's problem. Years of problem. Young people, when they get into this problem, what happens? Their family has to suffer. Their neighborhood has to suffer. Their school has to suffer. Their job has to suffer. And their future has to suffer. And the future children they bring to this world, they have to suffer. All of these things happens because of thinking for little mistake. Okay, let's go further. Verse 17. James chapter 1, verse 17.
Every good and every perfect gift is from above. It cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
Okay. Every good and perfect gift. Every good and perfect gift comes from where? Comes from above. Comes from God. And he says that God lives in what? Light. There is no darkness in him. And when that God gives you something, he doesn't give you sparingly. He gives you liberally. Amen. God wants to give you gifts, because the devil try to give you something. People say, okay, they get a good job sometimes. Somebody say, I got a good job. Where did you get a job? Oh, I got a good job in the restaurant. What do you do? Serving the liquor? I don't drink, but I serve the liquor. I'll tell you, if you are a believer, get out of that job. That God did not give it to you. The devil gave it to you. And devil want to destroy you. And slowly, slowly you start giving all this liquor to other people, and you find a person who is a drinking liquor, try to tempt you. Maybe you are a man or a woman, and fall in love or fall into temptation, you are going to ruin your life. That is not the place for the believer. believer should get out of that place. Say, Lord, give me the job. That job will glorify your name. Don't ever take a job that ties you down for Sunday not to go to church. If you take that job, first of all, you ruin your testimony. When you apply for the job, write it down there. I am a born again Christian. I love the Lord. I love to go to church. I do everything right. I do not lie. I do not cheat. I do not steal. I do my job right. And I work in any company just like I'm serving the Lord. I guarantee you, if the man who reads your resume, and if he even though not saved, he will believe this is the honest person I need to do the job. And you will get a job. But if you start to say, I will work any shifts, I will work Sundays, and I will work every days, you will get a job. But what's going to happen? You will ruin your testimony. And even though if you got a job, you wait for 3 months. As soon as you get permanent, you approach your boss. I said, I was waiting to get permanent. Now I got permanent job. Can I have a Sunday off? Because I want to go to church. And if you do that, God will work it out. My wife, she's a nurse. She used to work every other Sunday and Saturday. I told her, we are going to pray, and you're going to have every Sunday off. She said, I tried. I talked to my supervisor. I talked to my girlfriend. And I told her, I'll work for you Saturdays. You work for me every Sunday. I'll work for you every Saturday. And we agreed and we went to our boss. She said, no. I am also working every other Sundays. And we will not give you that kind of freedom. So she said, okay, then I'm going to take a job in a clinic. Clinic means she was a head nurse. She wants to take a lower job, go in a clinic. Clinics is off Saturdays and Sundays. She comes to me, she said, I got an idea. Said, what? I'm going to take a lower job. I said, no way. God says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, I will make you head, not the tail. You will be above only, not beneath. She said, in this nursing, I will not get Sunday off. I said, God will take you out of the nursing and give you a job. It's not a nursing job. She said, nursing only I know. And I cannot do any other job. But see what God did. They opened a new department. And they said, we need a nurse who can be very faithfully working in this department. She said, I'll take the job if Sunday, Saturday off. She took the job. When she took the job, her other boss was very envy. He starts saying to her, do you know the job you are taking is very risky? Because you have to travel around and you have to go with the doctors, some male doctors and female doctors, and overnight you have to go on things like that. Do you believe your husband will allow you as a minister to go in like that? She called me and asked me, what you think? I said, I trust you. And I trust in God. But let me tell you, I'm going to tell you one thing. You might go for one time, or maybe two times, but you are not going to travel anywhere. I'm going to pray that you are going to work in Philadelphia, not going around the world. And I prayed, and once she went to New Jersey with a lady doctor. That's the time only she went, and she never went out like that anymore. Not only that, today she is a supervisor working in that department. Other girls are working under her. She doesn't have to go to the patient, doesn't have to give any chemotherapy, doesn't have to give any medicine. She doesn't have to do anything. Only she has a named nurse, but she is working in another department and getting the higher pay too. So what I'm trying to say, it is possible with God. If you do not compromise, God will open the way when there is no way. There was no department open. God opened the new department and put her there. So if we say there is no job, God will create a job for you. If you are faithful to God and say, Lord, here I am faithful. I want to serve you with my job, with my tithes, with my offering, with my testimony. Wherever I go, I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. God will open the door. So that's what the Word of God says. Every gift and every good gift, not only gift, good gift and every perfect gift is from above. When you got a job, who gave it to you? Jesus gave it to you. Just say, thank you, Jesus, for giving me job. Sometimes, you know, people think, oh, I'm smart. I worked hard. I fill up so many applications. I went door to door. That's why I got a job. Not because of that. God was so kind to you. God was loving you. That's why he gave it to job. And if you are faithful, what? He will give you promotion. Because all good promotions, all good gifts comes from above. You cannot get your own promotion. Even the presidents and kings, God put one, take one away. Only God can do it. We have to just trust in God for every day's need. He said, I'll give it to you. When God gives you something, he gives you perfect.
Amen.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So when God gives something, he gives you everything perfect. When you ask healing from God, he will not partially heal you, he will heal you completely. There is nothing impossible with God. Sometimes people think some of the disease are incurable, or some of the disease have modern medicine. So instead of praying, take some other people's advice. I don't think God understands this disease. If you think like that, then you are not thinking the real God. Our God knows everything because he has created you and me. And when he is a creator, if there is anything wrong, he would know it. So when you ask God by faith, he will do it. He will supply all your needs. No matter it's sickness or disease, or you have financial need, or you have marriage problem, or you have problem in your children, or anything you have problems. Come to Jesus Christ. He says, ask and it shall be given unto you. God gives everything perfect. James chapter 1 verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. Now someone would say, I do not understand these words. What God is trying to tell us here? Let me tell you. God has created you and me in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. Jesus Christ is called the Seed of God. Jesus Christ is the one, the Word of Truth. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23, then we will understand what the Word of God is trying to say in James chapter 1 verse 18. Let's read. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So how did we get born again? By the Word of God. That means Jesus Christ is the seed of God. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you get born again. When you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he gave his life for you. And when you say, Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord and be my Savior, you are born again. When you go back to the James chapter 1 verse 18, he says the last part of this, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. God created everything, all the animals and all the creatures God created. You remember when God created everything in Garden of Eden and said to Adam, name everyone. And Adam named every animal, but he could not find one companion for him, because the animal and the people are not created the same way. When God created man, he created you and me according to his own image. And he breathed on that first man, and the man became living soul. He did not put his spirit in any other creatures, just in mankind. That's why when Jesus Christ came to redeem mankind, he died for you and for me. He did not die for animals. Even the people say God loves everyone, even though he loves sparrows, he loves every creature. But that doesn't mean he died for them. Why God died for mankind? Because man committed sin. In book of Romans we read, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the eternal life comes from Jesus Christ. Many people, they believe all animals and people are the same. And they believe that animals also will go to heaven. But the Bible doesn't teach this. Some people believe that, but there is no proof in the Word of God. Because here the Word of God says that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. When Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. If you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, even though you die, you don't die, you just sleep. According to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 13 to 18, if you read, Jesus Christ is coming back. And all the dead in Christ will come back with him. And the people who are alive, we will be transformed and go to meet our loved ones as well as Jesus in the air. There is not a single scripture says the dogs and cats died and their babies died, and when Jesus Christ comes, all the dogs and cats and all the animals will get together in heaven. There is no proof in the Word of God. People write books, they make videotapes, but there is no proof in the Word of God. Why? Because we are the special creation of God. God has created you and me special way. We are superior than any animals because we have the body, we have the soul, and we have the spirit. That's why mankind worships God. Animals do not worship God, or they do not confess their sins. The Word of God says, if you want to go to heaven, you cannot go to heaven with a sinful life. You have to confess your sins, and your sins should be washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of bulls and goats will not make man perfect. If the blood of bulls and goats would make man perfect, then Jesus didn't have to come to die on the cross of Calvary. Thank God for Jesus. He redeemed you and me with His precious blood. We are belong to Him. So we are precious in the sight of God. Don't think you are equal into animal. Animal has feelings, you have feelings. They have life, you have life. But they cannot get eternal life. We are the only one gets eternal life because we ask forgiveness for our sins and we ask Jesus to come into our heart. Animal cannot do it. According to the 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23, the Word of God says, we have the seed of God. Jesus Christ is that seed, is that Word, and Jesus Christ is Alpha and Omega. He is eternal. Revelation 1 verse 18, Jesus said, I was dead, but now I am alive. And He is alive forevermore. He is eternal God. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. He is unchangeable God. He came from heaven to die for you and for me. So we are the special people in the eyes of God. So just believe in your heart that you are special. You are first fruit of His creation. You are not equal to animal, but you want to be just like God. The Word of God says in 1 John chapter 3, and if you read first three verses, let's read and see. 1 John chapter 3, and let's read verses 1 to 3. Behold, what manner of love that Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. We are the children of God. God did not say the cow, a dog, a cat, a bird, or any other animal is my child, or is my daughter, or is my son. Only you and me are the children of God. Why? Because we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. St. John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, as many as received Him, received who? Jesus Christ. To them He gave the power to be called the sons of God. So we are special in the eyes of God. So dear friends, don't get confused. The time is almost gone. The time doesn't permit us. So we will continue next week, God willing. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to You. You are a great God. You are a miracle working God. You are the same yesterday, today and forever. You are unchangeable God. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful to You that You came from heaven. You died for us. You rose again. You are a living God. And You have given us hope that we can live like You. And we will be just like You. So Lord, give us grace to purify us, to cleanse us day by day by the Word of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, and by Your Spirit. And let us be ready for Your soon coming. If there is someone right now listening to my voice and they never gave their heart to Jesus Christ, let them call upon Jesus. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. be my Lord, be my Savior. Please forgive all my sins and wash me with your precious blood. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless each and everyone, touch each and everyone, heal each and everyone, and let them live for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen.